it's good to be here. It's always good to be here and just sharing time together. And we always say, don't we, that when we share time together and allow God to be part of what we're doing, he breaks into our service, he breaks into our hearts, and he does new stuff with us. They're just going to Sunday school. They've not taken offence or anything like that because I've stood up, or I hope not. So we believe as we gather together that God is part of what we're doing, that he's an integral focus of our gathering together. And as such, he wants to break into our lives. He wants to break into our thinking. He wants to do us good. He wants to minister to us. He wants to set us free. He wants to do so many things. And I just want to focus on truth this morning. Last time I spoke about truth. And this morning I want to talk about faith. Faith in when we see truth and how to put faith into that. And the songs that we've sung this morning have had a pattern to them, and they're very powerful songs. They are truth. And I just wonder if Andy could put up the words for We Believe. Can you do that? Yeah. You can. You can do it. Sometimes when people come to church, they say, what do you believe in? What are you about? And if you're new to us, if you're not used to coming to this church, this is what we believe, and we've sang about that. And it's really important sometimes that we understand why we come to church and what we believe in. I think it's the next one. That's the one. That was a bit more complicated than what I expected. I'm sorry about that. Here we go. So we believe that God created the universe. That's what we believe. Are you okay with that? And in Christ, his Son, our Saviour, he came to us by virgin birth. We celebrate that every Christmas. We believe he died to save us and bore our sins, was crucified, and rose from the dead victorious, and ascended to the Father. That's what we believe. So if you are coming here and going, well, what do we believe in? Well, that's what we believe in. And sometimes it takes a little bit of a revelation to understand that. But all that is scripture, it's all in the Bible. We believe that, absolutely. We've heard also this morning from the Spirit that God is a faithful God. And that's true as well. God is a faithful God. And we also sang that nothing compares to the promise I have in you. And as we read scripture, as we read through the Bible, there are hundreds and hundreds of promises, hundreds of revelations about who God is and about what he wants to do in our lives. And nothing compares actually to what he wants to do in us. The promises that we have in him. And that's just something to reflect on as we just go through this short message this morning. Last time I spoke, we had two scriptures, John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a great Easter message that no one can come to the Father through me, through Jesus, through all that I've done, through my sacrifice, through my resurrection. Nobody can come to the Father unless they come to an understanding and a reality in their hearts about what that means for them. And John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Sometimes we need God's help to understand what truth is, because we can't understand everything about God. Sometimes we can't grasp the truth and reality of who God is, and we need help from the Holy Spirit who reveals truth to our hearts. And anybody who's become a Christian, That exchange will have happened. Jesus will have been revealed to your heart, your need for him, what he can do for you, how he can set you free from the power of sin in your life, how when we come to him, he gives us new birth, a new life, we become a new creation. That is true, but sometimes we need help to understand that because it's beyond our own understanding at times. A walk with God is a lifetime commitment, isn't it? We come to faith, we become a Christian, we have this revelation of who God is and our need for him and our access to him through his son Jesus Christ. And that begins a lifelong journey, a lifelong of developing our relationship with him. And as we journey with him, we should get to know him better and better and better and become more trusting of who he is and all the promises that he's made and begin to see some of those in our lives. But like any relationship, it can have those rocky patches when we go through tough periods. And I've been through some of those when it sometimes feels that God is not there, God isn't listening to me, he's not interested in me, he's left me alone. But I want to tell you this morning that the truth is that God's love for us never changes. God's purpose for our life, his plans and his promises for our life never changes. The only thing that changes is us. And in this relationship we have with him, we're in control of that. We determine how close we get to God or how close we don't get to him. And that comes through building a relationship. And like anything in life, when we work hard, when we develop a relationship, the faith and the trust levels grow and we can begin to see God do more in our hearts and in our lives. When we become a Christian, when we are moved from this kingdom here on earth and we are moved into our heavenly kingdom, when we are born again and transformed, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that we live by faith and not by sight. It's so easy, isn't it, to look at circumstances and situations by our own understanding, by our own sight, and not be able to work out what's going on. Not be able to see a solution, not be able to see an answer, not be able to see a way forward. But when God is in our hearts and in our lives and we are trusting him, when we put our faith in him, then we trust him to work that stuff out for us. And we have peace in our hearts as we do so. So as believers, we live by faith, not by sight. Our focus must always be on trusting God in every area of life. That's something I really struggled with when I was a younger Christian. Those that know me will know how I think. Sometimes my thinking can be a bit strange. But I really struggled to understand what that meant because I knew I got a brain, okay, as we all have, and I knew how to use it. And I thought, well, how does God interact in this? Because I can make lots of decisions for myself. I don't need God to be part of that. I can decide when I get up, what I do in the day, where I go, what employment I take. I can decide all of that. I don't need God to help me. And so that including God in everything was quite a complex sort of conundrum for me to begin to work out. Now, that may not be so in your case. You might be a little bit brighter than me, but I really struggled with that concept because I used to think that some Christians were a bit dim because they just didn't know what to do in circumstances and they put their trust in God and I'm thinking, you can't, God's given you a brain. Surely you can work this stuff out. But God wants to be included in everything that we do. And so that is a conscious decision every day to live by faith. That no matter what I'm going to do today, I'm going to put God into it. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to trust him in every circumstance, in every situation, in every decision I make, I'm going to put faith into it. And that, as you begin to practice that kind of discipline, it becomes easier to live by faith because we know that God always is honorable and he is a faithful God. And he will do those things and reveal things to us that we need to know. If I asked everybody this morning, and I will do, I'm going to ask you anyway, Who wants to see God do more in their lives? Now, you don't have to put your hand up or anything. But most of us, I would imagine, would go, yeah. I want to see God more and more working in my life. I want to see these things that I'm reading in the Bible, I want them to become a reality in me. I want to be an overcomer of life, not a victim of life. I want to become an overcomer of sin, not a victim to sin. I want to reach my potential in God. And we all want that in our Christian walk. So how can we see this happen? How can we see ourselves move from where we are today to begin to grasp hold, to begin to put our faith into the promises that God has very often placed in our hearts, but we've never seen it happen yet? Well, we all know that for God to be in our hearts, we must be born again, and that's step one. Step one, we need God. We have to realize that in this world, if we're going to reach all that God has got for us, we've got to put our trust in Him. We've got to allow Him into our lives. We've got to be born again. Come to faith. Be saved. Whatever terminology we use, we've got to have that moment of revelation in our heart that we need this God in our hearts to bring this transformation. We need to live by putting our faith in Him and not living by what we see. Because what we see very often isn't what God wants us to see. What we see can limit what God wants to do. And so we have to live in faith in the truth that He reveals to us in Scripture. The great thing about this Christian life is when we become a Christian, God actually enables us to live it. He doesn't expect us to do it in our own strength. He gives us everything that we need for life and for living a godly life, for godliness as we call it. So God empowers us. God gives us what we need to live a godly life. And faith is an active part of anyone who is a believer. And it's given to us at salvation. We all have faith. Now, lots of us will say, I haven't got faith. And that's quite a common thing to hear, isn't it? I haven't got enough faith for that. I haven't got any faith. But anybody who is born again has got faith. Now, you may be sitting here this morning thinking, I haven't. Well, that's not what the truth of Scripture is. The truth of Scripture is that faith is imparted to you when you are born again. Romans 12:3 says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." That's the NIV. Did you do the NLT as well? Yeah, put that one up for me. "Because of the privilege and authority that God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you." So Paul is writing here, and he's saying, you've got faith. Use it. God has distributed to each person faith. And faith is a doing word. It's one of those active words. We have to use it to see it actually bear fruit in our lives. But that's a reminder to us this morning that each one of us has got faith. God has imparted faith into our hearts and our lives. It's up to us to put that faith into action. God has promised through His word to transform us, provide for us, give us a future that is planned by Him. God wants to bring us to completion. That is, we want to be satisfied and fulfilled in all that we do in life. And there are many times when we don't feel like this and we have an internal battle going on. And as part of our Christian walk, we've got to recognize that part of this battle is that we have an enemy of the soul. We have somebody that wants to see us fail, somebody that wants to trip us up, somebody who deceives us, tells us lies about who we are, tells us lies about who God is, And that is where many of our battles are won and lost. Our enemy is defeated. That is the truth. The Bible tells us that. Jesus overcame him. He overcame the power of sin and death. That happened at the cross and the resurrection, that sin is defeated, the power of the enemy is defeated, but the enemy will tell you that he's not. He will whisper in your ear. He will lie to you. He will deceive you very often about who God is and about who you are. And it's important to recognize that this battle is going on in our lives. We're in a battle. And anyone who's been in a battle knows how exhausting that can be. But our help comes from the Lord. It comes from the one who has overcome our enemy. So faith is an important part of our walk with God. It's an important part of our understanding what he's trying to do in our hearts. And it's this lifelong journey of putting our trust in God. No matter what we see, very often we've got to trust God because he's a faithful God. And Jesus was always pleased when people had faith. And he used to say to them, and those of you who have been on the journey a long time, when people came to him and said, your faith has already made you whole. The faith that you have in God has already been fulfilled because of your faith. Faith is very, very powerful. The Bible is full of statements about God's relationship with us, his children, and what is possible when we put our faith in him. There's no doubt that God loves us. To confirm that, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, make that sacrifice for sin that we could never, ever make on our own. So the truth is that God loves us, and I'm sure we'd all go, yes, that is true. Whether or not you feel loved this morning by God, the word says he loves you. The battle is within. And by faith, we accept his love. There are many times in our own relationships where we don't feel loved. But that can be a misunderstanding of circumstances. And so it is with God. The Bible tells us he loves us unconditionally, always will, never changes. But our perception of that sometimes does change because we listen to the words of the enemy. We are deceived. The truth is God loves us. The truth is that you are forgiven. What an awesome thing to be forgiven. All those things in our heart that just weigh us down, that stop this relationship with God, are forgiven. It says in 1 John 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What an awesome promise that is, that we can be made clean through our faith in him. If we confess our sin, if we confess to God our sin, he will forgive us. If you're battling with that this morning, confess it to God. You don't need to do it through me or anybody else. You can go direct to God and confess your sin, and he will forgive you. That is truth. That is what the word is telling us. It says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, on those who put their faith in him. He is a great God. He just removes this stuff from us. No matter what sin we have committed, God can forgive. We just have to confess. The slate is wiped clean. The Bible uses an old-fashioned term, doesn't it, that we have been made as white as snow. Because very often we see sin and as a dark thing, as a black thing. But when we allow God to come into our hearts and accept that we are forgiven, he makes us as white as snow. 1 John 4, 16-18 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." So there's a real promise there that when we love God and we know he loves us, there is no fear in anything in life. If you are living in fear of anything this morning, allow God's love to break into your heart. Allow him to be all that you need. Allow him to just love you. Allow him to minister into your heart and set you free. He is the ultimate Father who cares about us. When we begin to love God, fear dissipates. You say, well, how can I love God? How can I love him? Well, God helps us there as well. In Romans 5:5, it says this, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The Holy Spirit that reveals truth to our hearts, pours his love into our hearts. When you know you're absolutely accepted, fear in a relationship disappears. And very often people's relationship with God is one of fear, because they're fearful of punishment, they're fearful of getting things wrong, they're fearful of not doing things right. And you can live your Christian life in fear because you don't want to get it wrong. But that isn't the relationship God is looking for. He's looking to pour his love into our hearts, so we are confident in our relationship with him, that we can live our lives in that freedom of knowing that whatever we do, we are loved. We are never rejected. This morning, allow God to pour his love into your heart. The Bible is full of all this kind of stuff, exciting and powerful. Although we call them promises of what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. But we've got to pick it up. We have faith. We've already read that faith has been put in our hearts by God himself. And therefore, we've got to learn how to pick it up and use it. I watched a film while I was away on holiday last week. And it was an okay film. But there was a particular line that really challenged my thinking about how we handle faith. And it was a silly film, but it was about wearing glasses. If you wore glasses, you could see things that you couldn't see without them, things that were invisible to the natural eye. And they took you into a new level of living where life became exciting, it became powerful, it became a lot of things that you can't see unless you wore these glasses. And the hero had gone from not wearing glasses to wearing glasses, and it transformed his life. And he got a pair for his best mate and said, "Wear these, and it'll transform everything about life." But his best friend wouldn't wear them. He was content with where he was, and he knew if he put these on, it would just change him. It would take him from being comfortable with his ordinary life, and he couldn't face the challenge of what would happen if he put these glasses on. So he refused to put them on. And as Christians, sometimes we can be like that with our faith. We know that if we live by faith, it can be really challenging, because God may ask us to do things that we go, "I don't really want to do that." Sometimes we can reject all that God is trying to do in us because we fear the challenge that it brings. We fear the changes that it may bring. I think Michael talked a little bit about some of that last week. But when God breaks into our hearts, he wants to change us. He wants to work in us. He wants to transform us. He wants to heal us. He wants to set us free. He wants to do all those things. But sometimes we can be content with where we are and not use the faith that God has given us. We can feel restricted by fear of the unknown in our Christian walk. This morning, what I want to do is encourage you that when you read the Bible, when we sing these words in the songs that we're singing, there is a truth in them. There is truth in it. The things that God is saying are true. He is a faithful God, but he's looking for a faithful people. That's what the Spirit was saying to us this morning. He's looking for a faithful people. That is people that live by faith and not by sight. I don't know where you're at this morning, but are you living by faith or are you living by sight? I suppose my challenge is that let's put on these spiritual glasses. Let's pick up our faith and put it on. Let's walk with our faith. Let's day by day live by faith and not by sight. It's a decision. And sometimes when we begin to make decisions about moving on in God, we get the challenges from the enemy. You're wasting your time there. You'll never change. It'll always be like this. You've been too bad for God to actually love you. You're not very good. You'll never succeed. All lies of the enemy, because they contradict what the truth of God is saying, that we are a new creation. Every day God is doing something new in our hearts. He's promised us power to overcome sin. He's promised to set us free from sin. He's promised to have a path for our lives that is fulfilling and completes us in him. He's promised us that we have a future, an eternal future with him. The enemy will tell you that's not true. The Bible says it is. We've got to decide what we're going to put our faith in. So challenge, I just want to challenge you this morning that you pick up your faith. You've got it. And use it. And let's see God transform you. Let's see him transform this church, our community, our town, and our world. Thank you for listening to me.